Rishi. Rishi. The great sage Narada Muni. Karunakaha. Naturally very affectionate or merciful.
Naturally very affectionate or merciful.
To the fallen souls. Tashyaha.
To her.
Pradat.
Gave instructions.
Ubhayam.
Both.
Ishvaraha.
A powerful controller.
Who can do whatever he likes.
Narada Muni.
Dharmasya.
A religion.
Tattvam.
The truth.
Jnanam.
Knowledge.
Cha.
And.
Mam.
Me.
Api.
Especially.
Udishya.
Indicating.
Nirmalam.
Without material contamination.
So, translation. Narada Muni delivered his instructions both to me, who was within the womb, and to my mother, who was engaged in rendering him service. Because he was naturally extremely kind to the fallen souls, being in a transcendental position, he gave instructions on religion and transcendental knowledge. These instructions were free from all material contamination. So purport by His Divine Grace, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jāy. Here it is said, dharmasya tattvam jñānam cha nirmalam. The word nirmalam refers to spotless dharma, spotless religion, or in other words, bhagavat dharma. Ordinary ritualistic activities constitute contaminated religion by which one benefits by developing material wealth and prosperity. But uncontaminated, pure religion consists of understanding one's relationship with God and acting accordingly, thus fulfilling the highest mission of life and returning home back to Godhead. Prahlāda Mahārāja advised that one elevate oneself to the standard of Bhagavata Dharma from the very beginning of life. Kumara acharet pragyo dharmaṁ bhagavataṁ iha. The Lord Himself also speaks of pure, uncontaminated religion when He says, sarva dharmaṁ paricchaya mamekam sharanam braja. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. This is from Bhagavad Gita, 18th chapter, text 66. One must understand one's relationship with God and then act accordingly. This is Bhagavata Dharma. Bhagavata Dharma means Bhakti Yoga. Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janayatyashu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayarahoitukam. By rendering devotional service unto the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, one immediately acquires causeless knowledge and detachment from the world. That's from the Bhagavatam, 1st canto, 2nd chapter, text 7. To be situated on the platform of pure religion, one should perform bhakti yoga in relationship with Krishna, Vasudeva. So, Rishi Karunikastasya Pradadudvayamishvadaha Dharmasya Tatvam Jnanam Cha Mam Ap Yudhishya Nirmalam. So, Om Ganatum Dandasya Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshuran Meditam Yena Tasmai Shibhravena Maha. So, this whole discussion is going on here in the Bhagavatam, is part of the pastimes of Prahlāda Mahārāja. As we know, Prahlāda Mahārāja was actually taken away by the demigods when the demigods attacked the demons. The demons and the demigods are continual animosity or struggle for control. So the reason the demigods were able to defeat the demons was that Hiranyakashipu was on vacation. He was performing his austerities, you know, standing on the tip of his toes to get immortality from Lord Brahma. So the demigods actually wanted to kill the child after he was born. It's interesting also, they didn't want to do an abortion. Even the demigods understood or thought the child was going to be a demon, but they didn't want to commit an abortion. So that was terrible. They wanted to kill him right after he was born, which is also bad. So anyway, so Narada Muni interfered. And he said to Indra, who was carrying Kayadu away, Kayadu was Prahlad Maharaj's mother, he said, actually, there's a great devotee in the womb of this lady, so you should let this lady come with me. And Narada Muni took Kayadu to his ashram. His ashram was in a place called Narada Kund. Some of you have gone to Govardhan with me know Narada Kund. Did we go to Narada Kund? Yeah, we went to Narada Kund. So Narada Kund is right by Kushima Sarovara, not very far from Kushima Sarovara, but it's on the opposite side of the road from the hill. So it's some distance away. It's a very beautiful, peaceful place. Very few devotees know about it. And this is where Narada Muni has his ashram. And generally it's understood that Narada Muni can't remain in one place for very long because he's been cursed by Daksha. Narada convinced Daksha's sons, two groups of Daksha's sons, to take sannyas. Because Daksha's sons, there is the Hariashvas and the Savalashvas, were performing austerity to become good prajapatis. In other words, to have children, a lot of children. And because Daksha had a lot of children. I mean, the first group of sons was 10,000 sons. It's a lot of children to take care of. Imagine 10,000 little babies all crying at the same time. I mean, like last night at the program, the children were making noise. It was hard to think. Can you imagine 10,000 little children, you know, all wanting milk or something like that? So anyway, so Narada Muni went to these 10,000 boys after they grew up, not when they were babies, and they're performing austerities. And he said, "Why are you doing austerities for? You should do these austerities to become Krishna conscious, not to become good prajapatis like your father." And they said, basically, they said, "Yes, Narada Muni, you're right." And Narada Muni said, "Actually, your real father is Krishna. So don't listen to your bodily father." That's a real heavy preaching. We used to do that when we joined the movement. People would join the movement and say, "What about my parents?" I said, "That's Maya. They're not your parents. It's actually Krishna's your father and Prabhupada's your eternal father and all that other stuff." And it seemed to work. But don't do that with children because it doesn't work with children. If you tell a little boy or a little girl, "That's not your father," they'll just like have a nervous breakdown. So Narada Muni convinced them, and they took sannyas, and then there's a second group of kids, Savalashvas, they were called, who also took sannyas, and Daksha got really upset, and he cursed Narada Muni. He couldn't remain in one place for more than a few moments. And Narada Muni liked this curse because he likes to travel. Narada means the person who travels. You understand? Da means to go or travel. Nara means like man or person who travels, and Narada means the traveling man. Did you know that in Sanskrit? Every word means something. So Narada means the man who travels. So, and he does a lot of nice things, like sometimes even encourages demons to do their demoniac things to accelerate the advent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead or the Lord's pastimes. Like he went to Kamsa on a regular basis, he went to Ravana on a regular basis, and he work with them. They thought, in many cases, they thought, "Oh, he's our friend," but actually he was just trying to make them more demoniac so that the Lord would come and kill them as soon as possible. So, anyway, so Narada Muni was cursed. And so then he went to see Krishna in Vrindavan. I mean, he wanted to see Krishna's rasa dance. He heard about it and he wanted to see it. Generally, Narada is chanting Narayan, Narayan, like you see in these Hindi films, you know. He has his little symbols like Narayan, Narayan, Narayan. Sometimes they depict him a little bit too humorously. He's not a comical character. Narada Muni is actually quite a serious person, although he does play tricks. He's not a comical character. And the way they depict him in the Hindi movies is not really that good. You know, sometimes they have the Sika standing up on his head. You ever seen that?
Yeah.
It's not nice. So anyway, he's a serious guru. I mean, you wouldn't put your guru, you wouldn't put Prabhupada like that, you know, to pick Prabhupada. And Narada Muni is our predecessor, Acharya. So anyway, so Narada Muni went to Vrindavan, wanting to see Krishna's Rasalila pastimes. And then he tried to enter. And then Gopishra Mahadev, that's Lord Shiva, that's a gopi, he guards the rasa dance. If you go to Braj, you'll see that there's different manifestations of Lord Shiva that guard each area of Braj. There's Gopishwara Mahadev, Kundeshwara Mahadev, Chakaleshwara Mahadev. I mean, all these different deities of Lord Shiva. Chintaharan Mahadev. That's interesting. That chinta means like anxiety. Haran means to take away. Chintaharan Mahadev. So he takes away. He's a deity of Chintaharan Mahadev who takes away your anxieties. So you can go to visit him. So Nanda Maharaj, sometimes he would worship Lord Shiva. So there's nothing wrong with worshiping Lord Shiva. It's sort of controversial in ISKCON when we have the Shivaratri ceremony. People say, oh, we should worship Lord Shiva. But we worship him as a devotee. Like we worship Prabhupada as a devotee. We don't worship him as God. We worship any great devotee as a devotee. So why not Lord Shiva? What's wrong with him? He's Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu. He's the greatest Vaishnava. So, anyway, Lord Shiva stopped Narada Muni. He said, stop. You cannot enter because we don't allow men in this arena. Only women are allowed in. The only male that's allowed in is Krishna. And actually, in one sense, Krishna is the only male in Vrindavan. Everyone else is a prakriti in relationship with Krishna. So, he said to Narada Muni, if you actually want to enter the rasa dance, you have to become a lady. So just go bathing in the Kushima Sarovara, and then you become a lady. So he bathed in Kushima Sarovara and became Naradi. And Naradi is female Narada Muni. So then he went to the Rasa dance, and he thought he was going to watch, but Krishna had a better idea. Krishna said, you should stay here in Vrindavan, Narada Muni, and write the Narada Bhakti Sutras and Narada Pancharatra. And Narada Muni said, I can't stay any place. And Krishna said, yes, you can, because Vrindavan is not part of the material world. So curses don't apply here. Curses don't apply, and also the rules of Vastu and other things don't apply in Braj. You know Vastu? You know what Vastu is? Yeah, I think most of you know what Vastu is. Feng Shui is a Chinese version of Vastu. But he said the rules of Vastu don't apply. You know, you can just construct any sort of building. And it's auspicious if you chant Hare Krishna. So so therefore, Narada Muni has this place, and there he took Kayadu to this ashram, the Narada Kunda ashram, and he began to read to her, not actually read, because at that time they didn't have books. At that time people were more intelligent, so they would be able to memorize the whole Vedanta Sutra, the Bhagavatam, everything like that. So Narada Muni began to speak the Bhagavatam to her, and she very much appreciated. Of course, later on we understand that she forgot everything she learned. It was like the devotees, they sometimes sleep during the Bhagavatam class. She wasn't sleeping, but she forgot. Why she forget? Because of her attachment to her husband, Hiranyakashipu. Later on, when she went back to him, it was all hearts and flowers. Because it said that when people are in love, it's the same result is there in the brain as basically snorting cocaine. Did you know that?
No.
The brain scan is exactly the same. You know, when they do a brain scan, they say, wow, it looks exactly the same. Is this person taking cocaine? They say, no, she's in love. Therefore, in the Vedic system, it's good to have arranged marriages. Because when people fall in love, sometimes they make big mistakes. You know, there's a whole controversy in India, of course, between love marriages and arranged marriages. And, you know, most of the young people now, they want love marriages, isn't it? In India, they're arranged marriages. That's for the old people. But we see some of the strongest marriages that are there were arranged marriages. I know people who met each other at the marriage ceremony. Can you imagine that? You know, you don't find out who you're getting married to. You don't meet the person until, you know, you sit down to the fire sacrifice. You know, it's interesting. After the lady circumambulates the fire, and then finally she sees you and she uncovers her face. I mean, what do you do at that point? What do you do if you look like Serpanaka or something like that? oh no! And then you just run away from the marriage ceremony. Because also there's other problems with the marriage ceremony nowadays. They have this dowry and dowry killings and everything like that, which is very bad. So that's another issue. So anyway, so Kayadu actually forgot all about this spiritual instruction that was given by Narada Muni, because I guess she was in love with Hiranyakasipu. And he was quite a handsome chap, too. You know, he didn't look like a horrible, you know, rakshas or anything like that. And she was just, you know, that was her swami, her master. So, but Prahlad Maharaj, getting back to the story, Prahlad Maharaj was within her womb. And he was able to imbibe the instructions, in other words, to benefit from the sound vibration, which is quite interesting because very few babies within the womb are able to speak language. You know, to speak, you know. You don't really usually hear, here I am, you know. Here I am, I'm a boy. You know, you really have to do ultrasound to figure out whether it's a boy or a girl. You know, I don't think there's any instance of people heard their child speaking from within the womb. I mean, in the Puranas, there's some stories about sages or something like that. But, you know, in the modern day and age, you don't hear that. So the point is, you know, even without understanding the language, someone can make spiritual advancement. Just like when Srila Prabhupada was preaching Krishna consciousness, sometimes he was preaching in Hindi or in Bengali, and the devotees didn't understand. The devotees just didn't want to stay for class or stay for the darshan. And Prabhupada said, if you just hear, you'll make spiritual advancement, even if you don't understand what's being said. Because that's the benefit of spiritual sound. Golokera Premadana Horinam Sankirtan. Because the spiritual sound, whether it is the holy name or Krishna Katha, is coming from Goloka Vrindavan. Golokera Premadana Horinam Sankirtan. That means Premadana, the wealth of Prema, Golokera Premadana, is coming down from Goloka Vrindavan. And Harinam Sankirtan. So the Sankirtan means more than just chanting the Lord's holy names congregationally. It means Krishna Katha, recitation of Krishna Katha. So therefore, Prabhupada had devotees just sit and hear something, even though they didn't understand what was going on, because they would benefit from that. And there's so many instances or examples of this in history, in Vedic history, of people benefiting from hearing the holy names, even though they don't understand what's happening. I mean, one example that comes to mind, of course, that's called Namavash chanting, or Namavash hearing. But before I tell an example, the point is that chanting that you hear must be coming from a pure source. Otherwise, it's not really going to help you become that much purified. Of course, Namavash, even if it's coming from an impure source, has some benefit. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Harinam Chintamani, he talks about different varieties of Nama Vash. You know, Nama Vash could be like accidental chanting, meaning something else, like Ajamil did. But of course, Ajamil didn't go back to God until he actually got a new lease on life and started to perform more devotional service. He didn't go back to God immediately after he was saved from the Yamadutas. He had to take another time and perform austerities and follow the instructions of the spiritual master. So that one can, Namavash can be jokingly also. One may be joking, oh, you Hare Krishnas, you're so what, you look like a bunch of ladies walking around in skirts, you know, the men. Or even derisively making fun of the Hare Krishnas. Or even the meaning something completely different, like the Muslims when they said haram, how horrible, or Ramada Inn. You know, anyone who goes to the Ramada Inn makes spiritual advancement. You have Ramadas in here? Yeah, it's one of the hotels chains, worldwide hotel chains. Or even when you separate the syllables, like Ra, and then you have a few more words, Ma, after a few more words. Even if you separate this, there's advancement there or an advantage. But depending on where the holy name is coming from, determines how much advancement that Namavash gives you. If it's coming from some pure person, then you can actually go back to home, back to Godhead by Namavash, which eventually transforms into what the higher stage of Namavash is called Shraddha Namavash. That means chanting with faith. And, of course, without offenses. You know, the difference between Namavash and offensive chanting, which we heard the 10 offenses in chanting. So let's give an example. We have Haridas Thakur, who was chanting the holy names, and then there was this envious person called Ramchandra Khan. He was a businessman. He was Hindu also. He wasn't a Muslim. Most Muslims don't have the name Ramchandra. Sometimes they have the name Khan, but not Ramchandra. Ramchandra, you know, you never hear Muslims say, "What's your name, my dear Muslim?" Ramchandra. Maybe in India it happens sometimes. But anyway, so Ramchandra Khan was very envious of Haridas Thakur. So this is a story told in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavat. So he called to defame Haridas Thakur. He called for all the local ladies, the prostitutes, and he said, "Look, I want you to ruin his reputation, and then I'll put him in jail because he's just a pretender." And the ladies were thinking about it, and then one of the ladies, very, very attractive young lady, she said, "You know, I can do it. You know, don't worry. I can attract him. There's no problem." And so she said, "So you wait there with your man to arrest him, and then wait for the second time when we have a relationship." So she went to Haridas Thakur, and he was just chanting in front of the Tulsi plant. And she said, "Haridas Thakur, you're so young and attractive. Who would not be attracted to a person like you?" And at that point, Haridas Thakur was a young man. He wasn't older. He was actually quite older than Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but that later on, Lord Chaitanya's pastimes occurred. And he left this world before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But there's a whole story about that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Haridas Thakur said, when she said, "I'm interested in you," he said, "Krishna will fulfill all your desires." And she was thinking, "Wow, this is great. Krishna will fulfill it." But she didn't understand what her spiritual desire was, which Haridas Thakur in the holy name revealed to her later on. So anyway, so she began to sit there, and he said, "Well, at the end, when I finish my rounds, you know, I got a lot of rounds to chant, then, you know, I can enjoy with you without any limitation." And she said, "Wow, Jai, pretty bold." And so he chanted, and she listened to the holy names, and after the night was over, he apologized. He said, "I'm sorry, I didn't finish my rounds. Hopefully not tomorrow I'll be able to finish my rounds." And so the next night, the same thing happened. And he said, "Boy, I really apologize to you." But by that time, she had begun to not only hear the holy name, but to sort of chant in her mind how he was chanting. And then the third night, the thing started. And by the end of the third night, she just realized that she became purified by hearing the holy names. Even without knowing she was becoming purified, her intention was all bad. And she realized and she apologized to Haridas Thakur. And Haridas Thakur said, "Yeah, I knew what was happening. I knew this Ramchandra Khan was trying to plot against me. But the reason I didn't leave immediately was for your benefit. I wanted to give you the holy name and help you advance." That's how merciful a Vaishnava is. If someone comes to destroy him, and he just thinks how to save the person. Interesting, isn't it? He just thinks how to save the person. And she said, "What should I do?" And he said, "You know, give away all your possessions to the Brahmins and Vaishnavas. Come back here and chant the holy names to the Tulsi plant." And that's it, you know. And she followed his instructions after 3 days of his association. Can you imagine that? How quickly her consciousness changed? Just 3 days of association, and she went from the lowest position in society to the highest position. And then she shaved her hair off and chanted in front of the Tulsi plant, and the other devotees and people in the village would bring her food, so she didn't even have to worry about eating or anything like that. They started to worship her as a great saint.
which is amazing. You know, they understood she was a prostitute before, and then she became a great saint by Haridas Thakur's mercy. And of course, Ramchandra Khan, he suffered due to that offense against that Vaishnava, Haridas Thakur. Later on, it's described that Lord Nityananda came to his house at the Durga Mandap, which is right outside the temple. It's sort of a small temple to Durga that Vaishnava. What's that? Sounds like a car. The Vaishnava is. So anyway, so it was, he came, Lord Nityananda came, and he was thinking to preach there, and Ramchandra Khan sent a message with his servant that, my dear Lord Nityananda, this place is not good enough for you. You better go to a cow shed of some milkman or something like that. You know, you have so many followers. And then Lord Nityananda got so angry, he said, yes, he has spoken the truth. This place is not good enough for me. It is only fit for cow killers and meat eaters. And so he left the place, you know, sort of cursing Ramchandra Khan. And then later on, Ramchandra Khan was actually the tax collector. So later on, the person who supervised Ramchandra Khan discovered that Ramchandra Khan was taking too much money. Because previously, the tax collectors would keep a certain percentage of the taxes they collected. That was a good incentive. That way people would collect more taxes. I was just reading that in America there's something like several hundred billion dollars in uncollected taxes every year. Because there's an underground economy. I mean, what to speak of India? India has more of an underground economy than America. Yeah, 90%, isn't it? 90% of the economy is like underground, you know, black money, number two, as they say. You know, whenever you're doing a deal, you say, would you like number one or number two? So the tax collectors in those days, they actually got a percentage. So that way they had an incentive to collect more from the people, which is interesting. But Ramchandra Khan wasn't giving it enough. And so the Muslims came to attack him. And what they did was they went to the Durga Mandap and they camped out there and they cooked cows there. You know, so what Lord Nityananda said was, it's not even good enough. You know, it's a place where cow killing should take place. And so that's actually what happened. And then they plundered the whole village and put Ramchandra Khan and his family in jail. And so it's described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, but for the offense of one person, then a whole village becomes decimated, which is really heavy. So anyway, so that was the story about Haridas Thakur. And other stories, of course, are the story of Valmiki, who was previously Ratnagar, who began to chant the holy names. I think most of you know that story, that he was a dacoit, and he became discouraged from his dacoitry because he found out that his family wouldn't take any of the karma from his dacoitry. I mean, most of you know that from Fiji. Everybody's a Ram Bhakta. And then he began to chant this Mara, Mara, Mara under the instructions of the Sapta Rishis. Tulsidas Ramayana is not correct. It's in the Valmiki Ramayana, it says this is the Sapta Rishis who gave him the seven Rishis who gave him those instructions, like Vashishta and others like that, and Kashyapa, Vashishta, and others. So he began to chant the holy names, and then he became a pure devotee. Because he was given the holy name. The point I'm making is he was given the holy names by a pure devotee or pure devotees. So that's Valmiki. Even Jagai and Madai. I mean, really, they became purified because when they were getting drunk right outside of Srivasangam. And they were hearing the kirtan that was held, all-night kirtans at Srivasangam, which is where Lord Chaitanya would hold his kirtans. And that was the Shudanama, the pure name. So the whole point about becoming Krishna conscious is to hear the Shudanama. There's different things. There's the Shudanama, there's the pure name, and then there's someone who's chanting with offense or someone who's chanting, you know, Namavash. And all these have some effect. But if you hear the holy names from someone who's not Krishna conscious, it can even have a reverse effect. There's a verse from the Padma Purana, Sampradaya Vinaya Mantras Tenish Balamataha. that if you hear the holy name from someone who's not coming in disciplic succession, or what to speak of someone who's a my body or a materialist, then it's like taking milk, sarpo chisti yatapayam, milk touched by the lip of a sarpa or a serpent. So one has to hear the holy name from the pure source. And then even if you're not on a pure platform or hearing purely in the beginning, it will gradually take effect and change your consciousness to pure Krishna consciousness. And I think those who have stuck to the chanting of Hare Krishna within the Krishna consciousness movement have experienced that, that they come for various ulterior motives. As Krishna says in the Gita, the people come for different motives to Krishna consciousness, chaturvidha bhajanti mam. But ultimately, they actually change their consciousness by the chanting process. I mean, I experienced that myself. I came to the Krishna conscious movement because I basically wanted liberation. That knowledge is a combination, liberation knowledge. I didn't come because I wanted wealth or because I was curious, you know, because I already had wealth. When I joined the movement, Krishna took it away. You know, I joined the movement. I had a sports car, one of these real fancy sport cars, and Krishna smashed it 2 days after I joined the movement. It became like a tin can, basically. So anyway, I came, and as devotees have heard me tell the story before, that when I joined the movement, I was praying to Krishna, basically to kill me and take me back to Godhead, which he didn't do, thank God. I mean, not thank God he didn't take me back to Godhead, but thank God he didn't kill me. So, but then after some time, the desire for liberation or getting out of the world went away, and then now I can say honestly, I mean, I just want to serve Krishna. You know, mama janmani janmani shri bhavatai bhakti hoiti gitvaya. And that's really the happiness that we want now, but previously we wanted so many things. So the holy name works. When you've taken it from the proper pure source, it works, but you just got to keep taking it. It's like any medicine that you have to maintain the level in your bloodstream, right? You can't just, like a vitamin, for example, you can't just take once a year, you know, because you know, maybe it'll be good for a few days or something like that. But then you have to take every day to maintain the level, or any most medicines like that. And actually, I had one disciple who's a psychiatrist, and she was telling me about different, like, medicines for people depressed. She said, you have to build up the level in your bloodstream. It's not that you just take the antidepressant one day and, you know, you're ecstatic. Sometimes it takes several weeks, isn't it, to build up the level before you become ecstatic. Or at least sober or sane or whatever. So you have to keep taking it like that. So it's like the holy name. You really have to keep taking it every day in a concentrated fashion, or else the influence of the age of Kali will contaminate your mind. I mean, so many things can happen. You know, we're subjected to so much bad association, even though we don't want it. You know, when you're driving or flying an airplane like I do, or anything, you know, going to work, you're subject to so much bad association unless you take the proper precautionary measure, you know, antibiotic. So the holy name is like an antibiotic. It's prophylactic against disease, so many diseases. So you have to protect yourself. You know, like, I don't know if I use this. I don't want to use this example. Anyway, I will. Anyway, like the people, you know, mundane people, they talk about, you know, safe sex, protecting yourself. So we have to talk about safe living. You know, protect yourself. You always keep the holy name on your lips and have nice sadhana, and that protects you against all the disease in Kali Yuga. You know, the contamination in Kali Yuga. So we should be understanding how important it is to hear regularly transcendental sound and to chant regularly with attention. So any questions or comments? So are you done?
Do animals also benefit when you do this?
Yes. Actually, that was brought out in the Hariram Chintamani, in the discussion between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Haridas Thakur. They're also there in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that whole discussion. That's where Bhaktivinoda Thakur got his information for the Harinam Chintamani. That Lord Chaitanya asked, you know, how do the living entities become benefited? And Haridas Thakur answered by the loud chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. They become liberated. And then how, the question was even raised, how do the inanimate living entities become benefited? That means like trees. And Haridas Thakur said, by the loud chanting of Hare Krishna. And even he said that the echo that you hear sometimes is the chanting of the inanimate living entities. Just like if you go to a mountain, I don't know if you ever heard an echo before. You go to mountains here, and you don't hear echoes so much in the middle of Sydney. But sometimes in big buildings where you got a dome or something, you hear echoes, reverberation. So you just go Hare Krishna, and that coming back is actually like the chanting of the mountain or something like that. So that's an echo. He said even that the inanimate living entities become benefited and chant in that way, and they can go back to Godhead. And then they all become liberated, go back to the spiritual world. And then the question was raised, if everyone goes back to the spiritual world, what's going to happen to the material world? And the answer was, there's so many unmanifested living entities who get to manifest themselves. I mean, they're just waiting for bodies. There's like a line, a waiting list. There are billions and trillions of living entities who don't have bodies either, you know, even tree bodies they don't have, what to speak of human bodies. And so they fill the material universe up again, even if everybody goes back. So it's never going to be vacant or void of living entities.
So the Rishi Muni used to meditate in the forest. Should they have done loudly, or they just did it in their mind?
Well, in the Satya Yugas, they did it in their mind. They did it in their mind. But in Kali Yuga, Krishna Nam Sankirtan, they should just chant loudly. This meditational process is not really, at least the concentration on the meditational process is not recommended in Kali Yuga. It's a loud chanting of Hare Krishna. Hare Nam, Hare Nam, Hare Nam, Eva Kevalam. Kalodish Devanish Devanish Devagatiranyata. There is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way in this age of Kali.
Because this group of birds, always in the morning come near our bed, when our praying place is about 4-5 o'clock, they start making noise. They know this is a time for prayer.
Yeah.
They start making noise outside.
Noise outside?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And then when the prayer is finished and you do that, and they just go away. I don't know.
Who does that?
The birds.
Oh, the birds?
Yeah.
Oh, they're chanting.
Maybe they just, when we do that, we sing, ring the bell,
they hear it. Yeah. Some of course, they wake up early at sunrise.
Yeah.
That's why. But some of the birds are maha aparadis. Like they attack devotees when they're riding on bicycles. Was the minor birds that? Yeah, last time I was here, you know, every day was like, I thought I was, you know, there were airplanes like, what are they called? Unmanned UAVs. Attacking me. You know, they go for the eyes. Well, luckily I was wearing these things, but they would actually go for my helmet.
They do those in Australia, but they're magpies.
Oh, the magpies do that. Yeah. Oh, the magpies. It was terrible. Every time I would go by this one spot, Krishna Vijay saw that. They attacked me when he was there, too. Yeah, the mating season. They thought I was a male or a female or something. So, no, actually, it's accidental. They don't suffer from offenses by doing that. But, you know, if you hear the holy names or you serve a Vaishnava, even inadvertently, not knowing it, you can make spiritual advancement. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, of course. Anyone who takes prasad. And, like, I was a teacher in ISKCON in the beginning, so we were teaching children, and we used to feed ducks every Sunday with the leftover prasadam. And when Prabhupada heard that, he said, all those ducks will become human beings in the next life. That means become devotees, too. So anyone who takes prasad, even an animal, will become a devotee. Not necessarily go back to God immediately, but at least become a devotee in his next life. So there's so much benefit that we can give when we know through the chanting.
Learning in the womb, when
Yeah, the mother.
Yeah, well, yeah, that she should have transcendental sound all over. I mean, if she's watching just Bollywood movies while the child's in the womb, then the child would come out and do one of these Bollywood dances. You know, in the middle of all these Bollywood movies, they have the dances like that.
Yes.
So, you know, you want a child like that, that's up to you.
One example in Mahabharata is of Imanu when he was in Subhadra's womb.
Well, he was saved. Yeah, he was saved.
Was it
Abhimanyu. Then, the Parikshit, he was in Uttara's womb.
Yeah,
he was saved by Krishna. That's who we mean. But really, it shapes the consciousness. You know, I know that, you know, there was one lady I was speaking to once. She was, like, very much fearful when she was pregnant. And the child was also very fearful. You know, there's something with the hormones, too, and the different chemicals in the bloodstream. And, you know, the mother smokes, then the child gets the nicotine. Or, you know, many children are born with AIDS.
Yes.
Because the mother, you know, they're connected with the blood. Mm-hmm. Blood carries consciousness. So because the child is connected, bloodstream through the umbilical cord, with the mother. So whatever the mother's consciousness is like will actually be transferred to the child, too. Even in some instances, I've heard that, like, devotees, when they sometimes get transfusion from someone who didn't have such good consciousness, their consciousness temporarily changes. You know, that's nice. No, I've said a devotee gets blood from a non-devotee. You know, all of a sudden you get blood. You say, I want to eat. I'm a rakshasa. Like that. So the blood actually, there's some, you know, the blood does carry consciousness and affects the consciousness. So, So any other questions or comments? No other questions? So...